was all a dream. I used to read Wizard magazine, Marvel versus DC. I don't wanna fight no more, y'all. Check this out right here.
Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 480. We have a full table tonight. It's been a while. So it's fun seeing all these happy, smiling, well, hi Pat, faces.
Who's happy and smiling?
Well, you're not.
Dave.
Yeah, Dave is always happy.
He's got gas. Leave him alone.
Oh, okay. Man. I went to urgent care today. I'm not happy.
What?
I'm okay.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. I don't want to give my details.
I understand. To all of our listeners, yes, all four of our listeners might. What? But I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are
not Brandon, paying attention.
Dave,
Mike,
Pat,
Spencer.
So I don't know any news. I don't remember seeing anything big. Oh, union Image employees formed a union. So I don't totally know what all that's all about or why or what the working conditions are there and stuff. But
nobody likes Todd McFarlane. That's why.
Well, yeah, I don't know if it's so much him or Eric Stevenson, the guy who actually runs it,
okay.
Which could be a problem for him only because he is very much he likes his power and... Because I know with Comics Pro, he likes to try to push us around and stuff. I don't know how that's going to go.
Well, they put out a note that didn't acknowledge the union. So I think
the Image did? Okay.
Yeah, I think they're probably just not going to acknowledge its existence.
That'll go well, I'm sure.
And I've heard that, and I don't know if it's true or not, that like, because that they put out the letter, like the tweet, and then they set up the website.
Yeah.
And it had like 9 people's signatures on
it.
But like there were a bunch of Image employees who had no idea that this was like going on.
So okay.
Like, they were kept out of the loop. So like I don't know
how
union-y is it if this was just, you know, a couple of people who decided to take it upon themselves. So
yeah, so we'll see what happens there. And yeah, and then people are talking about creators unions and stuff. It's like I don't know how that would work.
You're independent contractor.
Yeah, either you're freelance or you have a contract with a company, but I don't know.
Yeah, because one of the things they wanted was like the ability to like push out creators that they would vote on and they didn't like. And it's like you have contracts. Did you go to the website and read through like 9 things?
No.
Yeah, because like the last one on there was like they basically wanted to form a commission or whatever that would allow the union to vote people out.
Okay.
Basically.
Okay. First of all, unions never vote people out if they're
not
paying
the
members. But
it's not union members.
Yeah.
No, I know. But okay,
it's like creators for the company.
Right, but let's think about that for a second. Sweepy the janitor doesn't like Scott Snyder. Who's staying?
Mm-hmm. Well, no, but it's not so much
the
guy who's in charge of production, who's waiting for pages and is getting screamed at by somebody. It's like, stop screaming at me. I have no control over this.
Yeah, no.
I can understand them, you know, not wanting to work with the people that are screaming or are always late type of thing.
But those aren't creators. Those are...
It could be, because it's all, with everything being creator-owned, the people that would be, you know...
Yeah.
Doing most of the yelling.
How come it's not done? Because you haven't written it yet.
Well, not so much that, but, you know, why isn't it printed yet? It's supposed to be on the shelves, you know, and I don't know. But I can see, you know, some people not having a ton of, that's like, oh, God, I don't want to work with this guy again. And they have no say in that, just being an employee. So I understand them maybe wanting that. I don't know how feasible it really is.
No.
Yeah, especially at Image, the way Image is set up. That's a weird corporate structure. Like, it just, everything's creator-owned.
Right, they just get a cut
of
everything.
You know, so it's like, you know, there's not a ton of, I would imagine there isn't a ton of flexibility where they would have power to, you know, negotiate significant portions more, because, you know, those contracts are already agreed to with the creators.
Yeah, I mean, they might be able to address, say, you know, we don't want to work with him when this book is over, but
yeah,
if the book sells, Image isn't going to give up that cut.
So that was really the only news I can think of. Oh, one other thing. Swamp Thing got picked up for another extra 6 issues, so it's going to 16 now.
Oh, really?
And maybe it'll go further after. Who knows? But
still, they announced that same today.
Yeah,
team?
Rom V. Was it Mike Perkins drawn that? I think. So that.
The new Morbius trailer.
Okay.
I saw it. It. They're clearly leaning into the shared universe. Michael Keaton actually had some lines in it this time. He calls himself Venom. They mention the incident in San Francisco, which is, again, Venom. And they showed there's a graffiti of a Spider-Man, and it looks like Tobey Maguire's costume, but it may or may not be, and someone had spray-painted murderer across it. So clearly they're leaning towards their own universe, but at the same time, yeah, we're kind of in Marvel, but not exactly. I gotta say, I actually liked him as Morbius. Like, he looked...
Like, when he's fully transformed?
Yeah, looked like Morbius.
Yeah, that's cool.
Cool.
So, compared to what he did with the Joker, I can live with that.
Okay. So, question-wise, we had one from last week I totally missed. I don't know what time it came in, but I just totally missed it. But James asks, and this is good for everybody, for someone new to AWA, what titles would you recommend?
All of them.
Yeah, pretty much anything.
Like, literally.
It depends on what do you like, because they have horror books, they have action books, they have...
that romance book Tim Pat really liked?
Yeah, you know, they have most...
They have a romance book, kind of. A casual fling.
Oh, true. Yeah. True.
So, yeah, they have a lot... They have things in a lot of different genres, so I guess it'd just be like, what genre do you like to read and start there?
But you guys have liked everything they've done.
What was the one with the kid?
Erratic?
Erratic.
Erratic, yeah.
That's the one I'd go with.
I never finished that.
There was the one with the, basically it was Batteries Not Included.
Yeah, Bite Size.
Bite Size, yeah, that one was really good. The only thing that they've come out with that I would avoid is COVID Chronicles, because that shit's a little too real. But it was good, but... just a little depressing, but everything else.
Yeah. The new robots one is excellent.
Yeah,
Mark Russell.
Yeah, and you've been liking that the Marjorie Finnegan.
That's
Dennis
been really
book.
Good.
Yeah.
Out was
good. Yeah.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Was Bad Mother them?
Yeah, Bad Mother was them.
Bad Mother's good.
The one I probably liked the least was Red Border, and that was still pretty good.
Yeah, there's a second series of Hotel coming.
Yeah.
And then there's that wrestling one. I'm fascinated
by
it.
I'm going to pass on that one, though.
See, I'm
interested in.
I'm liking that. It's the wrestling Macbeth told through 80s Southern...
like WCW?
Yeah, wrestling.
Is like Jim Cornette going to be in it?
I don't know, but I thought that was very interesting. I'm like... Okay, let's see how you do this. But it's by the writer of Hotel, so I have, you know, confidence, since you guys really like that. And then today, Jermaine asked, I think he's poking me like a bear, but if Pittsburgh Comics could carry an entirely new product line, new or vintage collectible, what would it be? What would you want to try out to see if customers were receptive? A few weeks back, I kind of... Pat, who works here, not you, Pat, was talking about getting in old records, because he's like, you know, working on back issues. He's like, it's basically the same thing. Plus, he really likes collecting them. I'm like, well, how do you know, you just don't, they don't magically appear, and you can't go out and buy in bulk type of thing. That's the kind of thing people bring them by to sell, but they have to know you carry records, so you need to carry new stuff. And I reached out to a record distributor just to see about it. and I just haven't followed up. He responded, but didn't, like, I was hoping he'd say, you know, here's the terms, you know, that's what I'm interested in, you know, what do they cost, things like that. What are order minimums, all that fun stuff. But I haven't gotten back to him just because I realize I'm going to be getting in way over my head in something I don't really know. Well, especially with music, it's like, you can't, I don't know that you can really just dip your toe in, you know, I'll order 100 records. Well, which 100?
New albums?
Right. Well, I'd want to have new so people know that I have new, and then they'd bring old to sell, and then you have that. And I'm just like, this just seems like more of a headache and a potential disaster than anything
else. Where would you put them?
Right. Well, we'd figure out something.
Well, the other thing is, you know comic books. You know what key issues are. You kind of know how to price those. You know what to pay for them.
Like, he does real well. He loves Transformers and has a big fondness for Transformers. So they do the used Transformer toys and things like that. And it's like, I don't know it. And I don't know that I'd want to get into that. So,
yeah.
Then Brandon said manga. He's a big manga fan.
Yeah, totally.
But A, you can't get it right now. And B, I look at the stuff. Like, I was even talking with the lady at the... at the Diamond thing, because it was like her and me in a virtual room, and I'm like, I don't care your stuff. It's daunting. You know, you look and you see it has 60 volumes, and it's like, I'm not ordering all 60 volumes at $15 a pop just to put on the shelf and hope they sell. So,
yeah. With any of those things, like whether it's magic cards or toy trains or whatever, like you have to know. Or at least have somebody who works for you who knows.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because
if I had to do anything, it'd probably be go back into the games and stuff. And maybe not do the Friday Night Magic. You know, sell the magic cards, but not do the in-store stuff. So if I was looking to branch out, that's probably the first.
The problem with that with the games is, if you don't provide people, like, a playing space, they have no loyalty to you. To buy the game at full price from you when they can go on Amazon and get it for 20%
off. The problem is, I found that even with the Magic guys, the Friday Night Magic guys weren't buying anything. Mm-hmm. All they were doing was paying the entrance fee, and it's like they weren't buying extra cards, they weren't buying sleeves, they weren't buying anything. Mm-hmm. So it was like, what's the point of this? So, and that was always the problem I had when I was doing the Friday Night Magic, and the guy from Wizards of the Coast contacted me about doing the in-store D&D and stuff. And I'm like, I get it. I don't see how to monetize it. And his answer was, well, you know, you have an employee stay and play with them. Because I'm like, I don't want to sit here for 4 hours on a Friday night while they're playing D&D. My time's worth more than that. You know, and I just can't, you know, it's like, well, they'll buy the books. And I'm like, okay. That's one book every, 4 years? Okay, that's not going to, you know, that doesn't pay my time. And that's why I said, I don't see how to monetize it. And basically their attitude was, your time's worth nothing. So no, I get what you're saying, but it's like...
Yeah, if you're not,
you know...
if you're not in the niche, like, I don't think you can have...
Yeah.
Expect to have success in it.
Well, I think the other, you know, what other stores around here already carry it?
Right. No, there are.
You got to attract the customers too.
Yeah. So, but that's my problem. I mean, I've looked into it, but and then everybody's having their own supply issues. You know, oh, I'll get into Pokemon cards. Well, yeah, good luck with that. So, yeah. So it's just, I don't know, Jermaine.
It's Lord Retail.
I know. Well, he's trying to help, get me thinking about stuff. I'm having fun with him. He's looking at a new spot. It's like, ooh. So, but that's all. I don't have any rants today. I'm in a happy place.
Did you see?
Well, that's not good for the podcast. No.
Did you see the BS that Bad Idea's doing now?
Oh, I saw. Sadly, I don't care. I've already ordered and paid for the last of their books. And once that's done, I'm done. But yeah, the new thing is, if you send in a pin or I don't know what it is, you can get a rock.
Yeah,
that somebody's drawn written Bad Idea on.
Yeah,
I got a rock.
Yeah.
So I think at this point they are literally just trolling.
Yeah,
we're about a week late, but I like where your head's at.
But it's just, I don't care anymore.
Well, is it New Dimension in the Mills with? Rachel's son, and we were looking around, and we were in the middle, and I looked at ENIAC, number three, and number four just falling off the shelf.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Well, because remember, you had to order
the
same numbers of one and two, And number one was super hot. And then,
not so much.
No. And
were any of their other books hot, though? Because for,
I don't think
for,
so,
for a little while, like, the number ones were hot. But when they got into that, like, final five thing, I don't remember anybody being, like, a buzz.
The funny thing for me is, because I just ordered it as the final five, I have no idea what the books are or anything. So it'll pop up on the invoice and be like, that's that.
I was going to say that, because I've been hearing about the final five, but I don't know what they are.
No clue.
Yeah.
It's the final thought.
And I just I've lost interest.
It got really bad. Like the plot, like I bought them all from you, but like because it's a bad idea. But like that's one of the worst series.
Or the lot? Is that it?
No, is it the lot?
Yeah, because the plot was a But a lot. Yeah,
it's all
Tim
the
bought
art,
that
the
and
art
hated
is,
it.
The art is terrible. Like, embarrassingly
you
bad.
You didn't like The Lot, did
is
you,
Is it The Lot or The Plot?
The Bad Idea book?
The Lot I thought was okay.
Yeah, but Tim likes everything. So
that's true. Like, Tim does like everything.
So when Tim says it's just okay, that's like one of us saying it's horrible.
That's like he said the new Halloween was his favorite Halloween of them all.
It's the second worst in the franchise.
He's got to come over and hit me in the head.
Worst. Yeah.
What's the first?
The one before it.
What's that?
Resurrection.
Okay.
Where's H2O?
That's one of my favorites.
He's a big Busta Rhymes guy.
Yeah.
Oh.
I had no idea.
So.
You say hoo-ha.
Hoo-ha. So, Mike, I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Do you remember anything that you read last week?
Bits and pieces.
Bits and pieces. Okay, well, let's give it a shot.
Oh God, why are you pressuring me to go first?
Looks like I figured you might be able to remember one.
Hold on.
Too much pressure.
I'm sorry.
All right. I read Cross the Bear number one.
I read that.
Don't remember it. Didn't like it. Let me get right to the point.
Mike, is that how you gave book reports when you were in third grade?
It was. Very disappointing.
It was very confusing because like it never like something's going on at the beginning and you don't know what it is, and you're supposed to be able to recognize these people from the 1890s.
What was the Knights of the Round Table thing? What was that?
Hang on, we'll get there. But there are these guys and they're going in to shoot somebody, and then they do this little saying, but you know, one guy's a handlebar mustache, the other guy has long sideburns, the other guy's clean shit, you know, and that's.
Well, yeah.
And then, but then all of a sudden they're all shot. And you don't know what happened, who shot them, why they were shot. You have no idea what's going on. And then now you're in the, or no, you're still, the whole thing took place in the past.
Yeah.
And this guy gets a letter saying, we're disappointed in you. Okay. And then it goes to something else. And you don't know who the characters are.
No, I was totally confused.
I don't know if the guy from the beginning was the same guy at the end. It was just, but apparently there is this, secret organization that has lasted through time, and they have this little cutesy saying, I forget what it was, and this guy comes to America and he's tracking this guy down, and at the end it turns out they're brothers, and it was not well told. There wasn't enough there to bring you back. It was just it was very confusing, and I agree, I didn't care for that. Sorry, Aftershock, you're my buddies, but
Yeah,
I didn't think it was great.
I was hoping it'd be a lot better than it.
Yeah.
Like,
we'll
do Daredevil number 35.
Nipper.
I'm way behind on Daredevil. The last Daredevil I read was one of the.
I read it. I can't remember.
It was the last one I read was one of the King in Black times.
Multiple bullseyes.
Multiple bullseyes. Yeah.
Electro Daredevils fighting them. Going on, and then the backstory is still with Kingpin and
I remember what happened.
Typhoid.
At the end, okay.
Yeah, and then it was okay. It was nothing. They're going to wrap it up with next issue, right, Colin? With 36.
Well, then it goes into Devil's Reign.
Yeah, don't care. Anyhow, so they go to the battle, and all of a sudden the Marvel superheroes start popping up because Daredevil, the real Daredevil, enters the scene, and they're like saying, the cop wanted to arrest him. Like, no, you're not going to arrest him. Like, Spider-Man talk, Captain America. Didn't he kill somebody? Like, legitimately kill somebody?
Daredevil?
Daredevil.
Yeah. Accidentally.
Yeah.
But these superheroes are like, yeah, just give him a pass.
Well, the way it started, there were these bank robbers, and he goes to stop them, and he, you know, bonks one guy on the head, and he falls and hits his head on the curb, and that's what killed him. So it's like,
yeah.
I mean, technically, yes, but it's not like he went up to him and snapped his neck or anything.
It's murder two, not murder one.
Yeah.
And then there's, was it an explosion?
And the other guy was committing a felony, so.
With typhoid?
Yeah.
So there's a romantic thing with typhoid and Kingpin, and it's the weirdest place ever. He's like grabbing the saber, and he proposes to her, and she says yes, and that's how it like ends. And I'm like, what? I'm like, okay.
See, you can't marry crazy.
Yeah, but you can write it. It was like just
no.
All of a sudden, here, want to get married? Okay, yeah. Whoop.
Kingpin's too smart for that. You can sleep with crazy. You can't marry crazy.
No, he wants to marry crazy.
It ends well.
Yeah,
he's ready to settle down.
Yeah, I'm just,
yeah, but you can't settle down with a woman like that. Mm-mm.
Well,
I speak from experience on that one. You cannot do that.
So,
we'll find out.
DC versus Vampires number one.
I read that.
Did you like it?
I did.
I did.
I liked
too.
That a lot. I thought the art was fantastic, but it's Otto Schmidt, who is fantastic at art.
So they pulled,
but yeah, that was good.
They pulled a guy from My Vampire.
Yes.
And he's out in the sun trying to, you know, stay alive. What was his mission? I can't
to
remember.
Get to the Justice League.
Get to the Justice League. But who told him to go to the Justice League?
I don't remember.
Lex Luthor, the Legion of Doom.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah. Like, where he sacrificed himself. He
exactly.
wanted, yeah,
and he was
yeah.
going to be a hero.
Yeah.
So he goes there, and he's talking to, the only one that was there was Green Lantern. And then, what's one of the Wonder Twins that showed up?
Yeah.
Zan or Jaina.
The guy.
Zan.
And then we find out that Green Lantern's...
already, he's a vampire.
He's a vampire.
And so he kills... Zan in a giant blender, so, and then he could so he could drink the blood. You know, then he has a smoothie. He's a Zan smoothie.
It didn't end well for him.
No, no. But
did
yeah,
he make it out of his ring.
Yeah,
yeah, because yeah. he squeezed him yeah. and like pulled. Yeah,
he didn't say yeah. form of smoothie.
No, no, he was turned into a smoothie.
That's true because he wasn't always was the form of water.
Yeah,
yeah.
yeah.
So, but yeah, it was.
It was a lot interesting one.
Yeah,
it
was
be.
Good.
I enjoyed it. Last one I'll talk about is Nita Hawes, Nightmare Blog
too.
Number one.
You're killing my list, man.
Isn't
Sorry.
That the point?
That was spinning out of
Philadelphia. Same artist.
Okay.
Yeah, same writer.
Great.
That
artwork.
Was good. Yeah, the artwork was really good.
The thing that I liked is the lead heroine is trying to beat the monsters or whatever, but she's talking to her dead son.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, are you real? Are you not real?
Yeah.
They keep communicating and talking about the monsters and stuff
yeah.
like that. And they so make and they make mention of Philadelphia because they're in Baltimore and
yeah.
that's where all the murders are happening in Baltimore and stuff like that.
Yep.
Okay.
But the monsters in here are awesome. They just look really, really cool. So I sign up with Tim for issue 2 and 3.
Yeah, it was good.
I really enjoyed that. That's my brief synopsis because I don't remember the other.
I don't remember all the details, yeah, but I do remember it was good. But she started this blog so people could talk about their like experience with monsters so she can try to figure out who's real and who's not and try to help people.
But the cool part was her talking to her dead kid. That was wild.
Yeah.
That was really cool.
He was shot. It was like, was it a con? Or just somebody was going to shoot somebody else and just a stray bullet just
yeah,
hit him.
I'm done.
Okay. Whichever way, I don't know. Clockwise,
I,
counterclockwise?
I didn't read very much.
Okay.
Because I read when I got here. Moon Knight.
Never that.
So I'm really digging this.
Yeah.
And this was a pretty cool issue. So, you know, he's in his shrink's office. Basically, because she asks him about the mask. And he's in the Mr. Knight costume,
yeah.
which is the suit with the tie and kind of the almost like a ski mask.
It seems like any time that he's not out superheroing,
he's
in the Mr. Knight getup. Like,
yeah, because he makes the comment that no one needs Mark Spector, but they need the Fist of Khonshu.
Yeah.
and he made there was something where, you know, she's analyzing him and he's like, this isn't my DID. It's just people don't need Mark Spector. I don't mean anything as Mark Spector. I mean something as Moon Knight. But he's, you know, he's running his little detective agency, whatever. Tigress shows up.
It's a mission, isn't it?
Yeah. Tigress shows up and he gets a phone call from a guy who used to work with Jigsaw, looks a lot like Jigsaw, but is not Jigsaw. And somehow he cracked, it wasn't Mark Spector, Stephen Grant, which is another one of his identities, yeah. Bank accounts. And so he's taken away all Moon Knight's money because he said, you know, essentially, you know, without his money, he's just a regular guy. So, but he, because of the computers he's running, he has to leave his windows open. And so whenever he's on the phone, they can hear, like, whatever festivals are going on.
Yeah.
So that was how Moon Knight was able to track him down and you know, beat the hell out of him. So he kind of has, like, this, you know, him and Tiger are sitting on a ledge. And he's like, you really want to know why I wear the mask so I don't have to look at myself? And he's all beat to hell and, you know, stitches and his face is all swollen and all that. It was a good issue.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. I've enjoyed this run, you know, the four issues in. But it's a complicated character. It's like, to keep it all straight.
Yeah, I always feel like now it's getting to the point whenever somebody, whenever they do, like, a new Moon Knight book and, like, the creative team, they have to, like, something to kind of top, like, the next thing. Like,
yeah.
There's no, like, just, like, superheroes. Like, you know, like, you just can't go and tell, like, kind of, like, a normal superhero story with the character anymore.
Well, I think part of that's he really doesn't have powers.
Yeah.
He's Batman.
Yeah.
And so, you know, to avoid that comparison, they make it crazy and, you know, and that's the thing, once they had that reveal that he has DID, and, you know, the whole time he's talking to Wolverine and Captain America, like, he really wasn't, this was all going on in his head, you can't really come back from that and reel it back in. But
and they also touched on the I didn't read it, but, like, the Avengers,
the West Coast Avengers.
Well, that or just like that, because they just had that in the New Avengers. They had that
where Khonshu took over.
Yeah, kind of thing. Like I said, I didn't read it, but they kind of touched on that stuff a little bit too.
I read that arc.
I started it. I didn't finish it.
It was Moon Knight, so I'll read it.
Oh, I was thinking about maybe whenever it came out in trade, maybe picking it up. You know, just to see, like, because like you said, Moon Knight. I try to. You know, they don't do a lot with them, so whenever they put something out with them, I like to check it out.
The next one I read was the Once in Future.
Yeah.
Still reading it?
Yeah, I read
it. I'm behind, but I'm still buying them.
I'm having a hard time with this anymore, because the first 2 to 3 arcs was kind of well-known, you know, it was Arthurian legend, and then it got into Beowulf. But it was kind of like well-known stuff. Now they're going into deep cuts, and I'm like, I don't know this.
Yeah.
It just, you know, maybe if I was British, because it's British. Yeah. Or if I was British, it might go, okay, yeah, I understand what this is. But as an ignorant American sitting here reading it, I'm like, I don't know what the hell they're talking about.
I just assume whatever they're talking about is accurate, or, like, you know, I just kind of try to roll with it.
Well, no, I mean, you can kind of roll with it, but, like, when they did the you know, say the first arc and they were talking about, you know, that, I kind of knew where the pieces fell.
Yeah.
I knew the interaction. So, like, when they said, you know, he's Gawain and he's...
Yeah.
Okay, I understand their relationship. I understand how it's... But now they're... Okay, you're Gawain, but you're also this. And I'm like, okay, now my head hurts. And, I, and I'm not going to read, you know, Once in Future King again, because it's...
Yeah.
Been 25 years since I've read that. It was the only thing I read in high school. Well, one of the only things I read in high school I liked. But I'm like, it just, you've kind of gone off the beaten path, and now I don't, not that I dislike it, but I'm a little more lost.
I'm kind of hoping that it starts to wrap up kind of soon.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was a good idea, but I don't think...
I think
it's not going to be 100 issues. Like,
yeah.
It's not a 100 issue story.
Well, remember when it first came out, we thought it was a miniseries, and then it got optioned for a show and stuff like that, and it seemed like whenever that happened, like, you know, he had more ideas, but it just kind of seemed like this little contained thing got blown up into this huge thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's now it's an IP factory, so you got to figure out how to run 100 issues, and I don't know. And the last thing I read was Moths.
Okay, then.
So that was, I enjoyed that issue. So, you know, the premise is once you kind of reveal your powers, you're going to die in 6 months. And M's whole deal is she feels empathy, but she can make people feel what she feels.
Yeah.
And, she goes on Fox News. It wasn't Fox News, but it was Fox News. And they're making fun of her, you know, how snowflakes all think holding hands and singing Kumbaya will save the world. And she's like, that's not at all what I said. What I said was empathy is how civilizations grew. Because first it was just my family. And then it was, well, my neighbors aren't so bad. Yeah. And then... but the people on the other side of the hill were my enemy. And then you got to know them, and then it wasn't so bad. And, like, it's like, that's how civilizations happen. So she wants to kind of put on this event at Dodger Stadium, and the guys at Fox News are like, you know, put a bunch of plants in there with hidden cameras, and, you know, let's catch her. They're essentially saying she's like a...
They wanted to say that they were... filling stuff when they actually weren't, to get her to say that they were, you know, that she was causing it, but they wasn't actually filling anything.
Yeah, but
or something like that.
But
like,
they were treating her like she was cold reading people, like a psychic.
Yeah.
And so the woman who's like the Fox News anchor, she basically just starts, you know, calling her a snowflake and down talking her, and she's like, you know, I didn't like it the first time, and I certainly don't like it now. And so, like, she just, like, blasts light everywhere. And what they said was, you know, prior to that event, worldwide, a murder happened every minute around the world. And when she did that, nobody was killed for 6 hours. So something did happen. Like, she was able to do that.
Yeah.
And she was hospitalized, and I guess now she's she only has a month left.
Yeah.
So this will wrap up in the next issue. It's been an interesting series. I
liked it as it's been going on, because I remember the first couple of issues, I was just like, I don't, like, you know, like, I don't know how, like, I wasn't, I don't know, not enjoying it. I don't know. Also, too, like, the art was kind of hard to get used to at first. It's like,
almost photorealistic.
Yeah, but not. It's weird. It's something that you gotta kind of get used to.
Someone traced over a photo.
Kinda, almost. Yeah.
And sometimes, like, the face is, like, in a different resolution than the bodies are. It's jarring at times. And I think this is supposed to tie into their shared universe.
Yeah.
But it kind of does. Because they talk about the event, which I'm assuming is the original event from the Resistance. But...
no.
These people are different. They're not the same as what's going on.
Well, yeah, because I think it's because, like, you can... because you can be awakened because of the virus, you know? Mm-hmm. The one that I was always wasn't sure about was, like, the one where everybody has telepathy. Like, that one's not tied into it, right? Even though that has the same writer.
Yeah, I don't know about that one, because that feels like that would be part of it, too.
But that one happened from, like, a solar flare.
Right, right, so, but it feels like that should have been part of their shared universe, too. Like, some other people... And that's, I get that they're trying to build a shared universe, and I appreciate that. But I'm not seeing how it's coming together.
Yeah. Especially with some things, because it's like we've talked about before, it's like we don't know what is and what isn't.
Yeah, was the zombie one, was that part of it? Was it not part of it? Was, you know, Erratic obviously is part of it because he was one of the Awakened. But what about, you know, is Bite Size? But like, it's, I want to know what I'm reading when I'm reading it.
Yeah.
You know? So that's what I read.
Did anybody read House of Slaughter?
Yep, I read that.
I forget his name, but
something Slaughter.
But the kid who was in the house before Erica got there.
Yeah, the kid who was nice to her.
Yeah, it's like they're telling like a dual kind of story of him kind of in the present and then still set in the past of...
So his name's Aaron.
Maybe.
Yeah, I was thinking it was something like
that. But so it's like a... And I don't know, is this supposed to be like a mini-series? Or
yeah,
it's
six issues.
Oh, is it six issues? Okay. Because he died in the regular series, right? Did he die? Because I thought he got cut up by the monsters when they were at the gym. Like I thought, or maybe that was somebody else from the house.
I don't think so.
I don't think it's him. No, I think it's someone else. Yeah.
But so it's like the present day story is him going on. He's trying to hunt somebody. And they tell the backstory starts with him also being hunted.
Yeah.
And then we learn that that's a training mission. He's being hunted by
the white masks.
The white masks, and he's not very good, you know. So the best he can do is try to trick them, but he catches them and the three girls that are after him in a snare trap. But the rope breaks, and so they get him anyways. And then they introduce him to a new kid who's transferring from a different house. And it seems like this kid knows a bit more than anybody else because he wants to see, like, he wants to meet the dragon and he, you know.
But he's not a black mask. He's
no.
He's a white mask,
but they don't.
Normally they don't room together.
Because they don't have any room in that house. So, since there's nobody in the Black Mask's house, he has to stay there.
Yeah, I'm not clear on why there's so many more White Masks than Black Masks.
Yeah.
I feel like they should explain that, but I don't remember.
They did. They explained, like, what their abilities were and what they do and how they do it. And I think that's...
Right,
but... He's the only one that has that one certain specialty. I can't remember what it was.
Right, but, like, when you come in... You're determined to be a white mask, a black mask, a blue, red, or green, whatever. I think I call it emerald, but anyway, like for there's like just like a handful of black masks. I think it's like three when Erica gets there. So,
well, at the end, he says, "This is the guy I'm going to fall in love with, and I eventually have to kill."
Yeah.
You're like, "Where's that going?"
But definitely. You know, if you're digging something's killing the children, you're definitely.
Yeah. I don't know why they needed to put this in a separate series.
Well, maybe I could make the reason I could think was just because like they're already doing like a lot of. Backstory and the main thing, so maybe they want to get back to like more of a present day story.
Is Something Killing the Children still coming out? So these are next to each other, like,
I don't think it's like replacing it. I think
so they're just trying to milk it for another title.
Well, I mean, as long as it's good though.
Bye Tim.
Left.
Okay, now that he's gone.
Deathstroke Inc. 2.
I read that.
So this is their
had one of those characters I just love when I see.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So there. It just starts out with Black Canary and Deathstroke out in space because the trust company is like hired to save these astronauts.
Right, the space station or something.
Yeah, that.
But it's not just them. It's also the Batman. What was that armor when he went to
Apocalypse?
The Hellbat?
Yeah, the Hellbat. Yeah. The Hellbat armor was there as well.
Nice. Yeah, because the Hellbat armor was supposed to be controlled by Toyman? Or is that right? But he's like a kid, but he's Toyman.
Oh, that guy. Okay. Yeah.
But instead of him controlling it, he was actually inside of the armor because he wanted to go to space.
Which pissed Deathstroke off. He's like, I'm not protecting you.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, if you die,
something happened. It's not my fault.
But of course, you know, it all goes awry because who took over the?
It was Cyborg Superman.
Oh yeah,
and he was using the Weird. Had him strapped to something because he was trying to broadcast something that would like destroy all the multiverses or something.
So he'd be able to like influence, yeah. Like because like how he can control technology or whatever. It would go throughout all the multiverses, so he could.
I love when I see the Weird because it's just one of those bizarre characters.
I remember that.
I think that was Jim Starlin created him. Just he's got one eyes bulging, and he's like always has these wraps and stuff, and he's just this really weird outer space character. It's just, and all of a sudden I saw him, I'm like, ooh, it had the Leonardo DiCaprio moment. you don't expect to see it, him just to pop up randomly in an issue. I thought that was cool.
But so they split up to try to Black Canary is trying to save the astronauts. Toyman is trying to like hack the system to stop it from broadcasting,
right.
And Deathstroke is like taking on Cyber Superman.
Yeah.
And then they get the Black Canary gets the astronauts to safety, and they're getting ready to like blow up the station to stop him, but Toyman wants to go save the Weird guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then in doing that, he has to get saved by Deathstroke, even though they said that he wouldn't. But then when he saves him, they like turns on him and he does something. I forget how it ends.
The weird just kind of said thank you.
Oh, okay.
And then just like vanished. He got smaller and smaller, and then like pop, he was gone. And I think Deathstroke was like, well, that was new.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it was him saying thank you was new or the way he vanished, but they stopped Cyborg Superman because he hacked. It turns out he can just jump from like robot to robot, and the kid hacked him, and all of a sudden he goes, it was funny because he's like, well, I will now destroy. Oh! And then you see his head just kind of fall back because he was disconnected.
How'd they get in space?
They never really explained how they got to or from space. Okay. But then it turns out that it was a trust satellite that was doing something nefarious. Which is kind of funny between this and Spider-Man. There are these two big organizations that people are working for that are obviously evil.
Yeah.
But they don't realize they're evil.
Yeah, pretty much.
Not to give away anything from Spider-Man. Did you read Spider-Man?
I did read Spider-Man.
I'm shocked.
Well, I'll talk about Spider-Man now then, since... So
Peter Parker's dead. Oh wait, no,
dying. He's still
real.
Yeah, because in the beginning of this new run, he gets hit with like a big like
blast of radiation.
Yeah, or something. So he's not doing too hot. So he gives, since Ben's back, he gave him the okay to be, you know, Spider-Man.
Yeah, and Aunt May's staying in his room because last time she left, he went into a coma. So basically, Peter was in a coma for the whole.
She's still alive.
She is still alive, yeah.
Yeah.
Spry. She looks like Marissa Tomei.
Wow.
She's about 32.
younger than Peter.
Yeah, getting there.
But there was a cool scene with her and MJ talking in this episode because MJ's like, is there anybody you could call from, like, you know, from Tony, working with Tony Stark or, you know, any, you know, the Hollywood people you know and stuff like that? And she's like, I've tried. I can't get hold of Iron Man. I even tried Doctor Strange, but I don't think he's in right. He's like in another dimension and stuff. So Aunt May's like, I have some calls to make and then leave. So damn, it's like
she's kicking ass.
Well, the thing is, maybe like maybe Mr. Negative.
Mr. Negative, maybe even Doc Ock.
Yeah.
Ball Man.
Yeah, something.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's just funny seeing her kind of taking charge. I like that.
Yeah. And then so
it was a real good conversation. Well, first Ben was kind of getting reamed by the director. Because he had disconnected when he was dealing with Peter, and they're like, you know, you can't keep going offline, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then he has to go see the psychiatrist, whose last name is Kafka, and talking about stuff. But then had a real good conversation with his wife, just because it was neat. She's like, oh yeah, everything's great. Yeah, we have this beautiful place, and we're prisoners. You know, we can't go anywhere. And then all of a sudden, this thing beeps, and he has to run off.
Yeah, because he...
And what happened? He had to run off to save somebody. Or save people.
Save people that are under attack from Morbius. So.
But, unfortunately, Ben is not as experienced as Peter in fighting Morbius.
As they mentioned earlier in the issue, he's weak on his right.
Yep.
He's slow on his right.
Because he was training with the Sisters of the Dragon.
Yeah, Misty Knight and the other one.
The other one.
Colleen.
Yeah.
Colleen Wing. Ah, okay. Yeah. But, yeah, it didn't go well, and he got bit.
He got bit. But you'd think with that fancy costume like that, his teeth would go through, but I don't know.
You'd think.
I don't know. But still.
That'll how next episode or next issue will be. Oh, he couldn't bite him, or this one clearly showed he was bit.
Yeah. But, still, I've been enjoying it. It's been kind of fun. And then I'll talk about Robin number 7. So
this had something that annoyed me. The cover had him reading a book, but it was backwards.
Yeah, because it was manga.
Oh, was it? Okay, fair enough. I'll let that go. Oh no, I'll let that go then. That's fine.
Earlier.
That's why you don't sell manga.
In one of the first,
no, but I understand.
Doesn't make any sense.
But often you'll see that where they show that, but they have it. Like, yeah. One of my big pet peeves is people shaking left hands in comics. It's like, no, and it just you don't. No, nobody does that. But
yeah, because they earlier in the series they established him. Like there was like a certain manga that he liked.
Fair enough. I'll let it go.
But
eyes, unacceptable.
Eyes and left hands. Yeah. this issue starts with him getting his hands on this book that's supposed to
Book of Secrets.
Book of Secrets kind of thing, and he doesn't get to read a lot of it before one of the contestants on the island attacks him. But he reads enough to find out that this lady who's in charge of the island is actually Ra's al Ghul's mother.
His grandmother.
So it's Robin's grandmother. Yeah. And that whoever wins the tournament will have immortality, but will basically kind of be like her war slave kind of deal. So Robin's new goal is to win the tournament so no one else is, has to go through that. So, like, the person who talked to when he was reading it was, do you remember the guy with the hook, with the chain hook thing?
Yeah.
But he throws him off the cliff, but he comes back, and so there's the final four. It's Robin, Deathstroke's daughter,
Ravager.
Connohawk and Flatline. So Ravager and Connor are fighting, which Connor ends up winning, and then Robin has to end up fighting Flatline
again.
But
she's the one originally ripped his heart out.
But he ends up winning this time. Yeah. And then that's when the guy with the chain with the hook chain thing shows back up. And because he apparently has some kind of grudge with Robin and Ravager and stuff, and he starts to take off his mask and they stop him, and you see like he also has like white hair and stuff like that, so I don't know if he's like another Slade kid or something like that. But then, so the issue pretty much ends with Connor and Robin going, getting ready to go, you know, toe-to-toe. Which I'm interested to see, like, what if this, like, if after this, if the series keeps on going, or, like, you know what I mean? Like,
because it's been on the island the whole time.
Yeah, the whole time. So, but I've been enjoying it so far.
Oh, me too, yeah.
Especially whenever they, you know, I found out that Connor was going to be a part of it, and, you know, and some of these other different characters. And then I think anything else I had, you guys might have read, so I'll let you guys go.
Well, I read Inferno number two.
I did that, yeah, I read that.
I don't know how they're going to wrap this up in 2 issues.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's,
that was I texted Jermaine that. I'm like, I do not see how they wrap this up in 2 issues.
Oh, it's 4? I thought it was 5 issues.
4.
Oh, four.
And he said, oh, they're just going to pass it off to other writers. I'm like, oh, that's not going to go well.
Yeah. But, so in this one, we see how Destiny was resurrected by Mystique taking
That's actually pretty good. Yeah.
Taking advantage of the
the kids.
What do you call them? The birthers? What are they?
No,
that's not it.
I don't think
they
call them birthers. That.
Something different.
No, but they gave them a name.
Yeah.
The five.
Yeah, but basically they and tricks Hope into using the helmet to put the memory back.
Yeah. And then so she comes back. She surprises him.
Yeah.
And Mystique
had made side deals with everybody.
Yeah, forces. Well, she forces a vote.
Yeah.
And then we see that she had gone, and you know, the first three to vote are
Xavier, Magneto,
and
Storm.
And Storm, I think it was.
And they all vote no, and then
they go. So it's three no's, and then we see all the, you know, the back deals that she made.
The only one that didn't make sense to me was Nightcrawler voting yes just to please.
Yeah.
That never.
I'm sure this isn't gonna go wrong.
Yeah, so because like, he seems like the kind of guy that knows like whatever Mystique is planning is probably bad. Like, you know, whatever motive she has is probably not good.
Yeah.
And he never really seemed much like a mama's boy to me, like, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's the only one that kind of flew, you know, but I don't know.
Yeah. So
Destiny gets appointed to the Quiet Council, which is, it's like, she's been back for, you know, a day, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's have her making decisions on all of our lives.
So, Magneto and Xavier meet with Moira and break the news to her, and she's freaking out. So
what was the other vote? There was another vote.
Well, so
the vote was the end was to bring, because they were down two people in the council.
Right.
So she took one, and then the next vote was for the next
member.
Oh,
okay.
Member.
Well,
and then Xavier had threatened. He said, "You know,
oh, that's
we'll
right,
do
that's
two
right,
votes.
That's right.
We'll vote for you, but then I'm gonna call for a vote for you to go off."
Yep.
And the vote never happens because he realizes it wouldn't have gone in his favor.
I thought it did happen. Didn't they bring in Colossus?
No, that's the third.
That's the third.
Because he
He
says there's going to be two votes.
Okay.
And it's
okay.
We'll vote on Destiny, and then we'll vote to kick Mystique off.
Gotcha.
And Destiny's like, "How do you think that, you want me to? You know how that's going to go?"
Yeah.
So
Xavier's just like, "Never mind."
Right, got it. Okay, yeah, then they brought Colossus in.
Any ideas on what might be in the box for...
Atma.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But then the other thing, where they talked to Moira.
They wanted to bring somebody else.
They wanted to bring in someone they could trust, so they revealed that Moira existed to Emma, and that pissed Emma off that they'd been hiding that from her. So she's like, I forget what it was, I'll go along with this, but... You've made an enemy of me. It's that's not good.
Which is weird that they were like, "Well, we need somebody we can trust," when she literally just voted against them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I do like at the end that we talk about bringing Colossus in, because I am a fan of the character, so anytime they do anything with him, you know.
So. As far as the what's in the box thing, who were the people that were guarding it? They had a weird look to them.
I couldn't tell.
They didn't look. They didn't look any. Like they didn't look any like any known henchmen. You know what I mean? Like I have no. I don't know. So. But yeah, the series is good. Like I think. The last issue, I complained about the pacing because it was all a rehash. But this one wasn't a rehash. It was pretty good. But yeah, I don't see how, you know, this is going to end in four issues.
And it doesn't
feel like it directly leads into the stuff that's happening in the X-Men book. So
yeah, so I don't.
I thought it was really good. I like the tension. I feel like the
world. Oh yeah, no, I think it's fantastic. And that's my concern
on Professor Xavier and Magneto.
I also read Ant number one.
Ooh, I'm sorry.
I had never heard of this before.
Okay.
So
just a random 90s type book, I think.
Well, this isn't the first issue of it, right? Even though it's a number one, it's been out before,
Eric Larson bought the rights.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he's doing it on his own.
Okay. So the art is like woof.
Like, is it Larson?
Yes.
He's probably just going through it really fast.
Like, I don't know. It's just like the proportions are weird, and like everybody's got these weird big heads, and there's no like this like big pencil lines and no detail, like big lines and no detail, and yeah. But basically, the story is it's like an introduction to like it's Ant's origin story, and she's this little girl that she misses her father, and her father is like I'll just call him a scientist because he's like working in a lab. And she says to him one day something like, you know, she's drawing a superhero like in her coloring book. And he says, oh, what's that? And she goes, oh, it's my, you know, my superhero, whatever. She's got a shell like an M&M. She's hard on the outside, right? And the panel's the dumbest panel, but he's like, hard on the outside like an M&M. Like that. And then later he's like, you see he's a scientist and he's like working on like a vial, and the vial's full of this red stuff that's like very clearly like the same color red that Ant is. Because there's like, that's like that red appears like in a couple of places where like, you know, it's like, oh, that's, you know, the ant color. And so he's like, I can't remember if he was like, he's getting fired for some reason. And he pockets a vial of this red stuff and walks out the door. And like the evil boss who's just fired him's like, hey, what do you got there? And he's like trying to stop him, and the guy just walks away. And then he goes home to his daughter, and he's like, this assassination attempt happens where like they just start basically shooting up the house. So he like quickly like makes an injection out of this vial and like goes to shoot himself up. But he's shot up, and like as he's falling down dead, he sticks it in his daughter's like butt. She just like gives it to her. So now she has the like she has the powers of an ant, and she had like someone like comes in to confront her, and she gets these like what are those things that ant have?
Antennae
or whatever they come out, and they it was just. Like, it was a super quick read, because it's, like, the art's, like, really big, and, like, there's not a lot of words, and it was, like,
Do you think sound effects take up most of the page?
No, nothing like that. But like, it was just like, if I don't know, it was it was pretty terrible. So I don't know. Is that like because you don't even carry Savage Dragon? Right?
No, I realized after I hadn't sold a copy in like 2 years, I stopped carrying it.
Yeah,
you don't have anybody pull for it either.
Yeah, I because it was when I had over the window, and those were the real big. They were the shelves that were twice as deep as these, and I realized it was full. And I checked, and I realized I had not sold a copy in 2 years. I'm like, yeah, there's really no reason to have this book.
Yeah. Well, I think Ant's probably going to be.
Yeah, I did not order a lot of Ant. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't remember pre-ordering it because was it delayed?
Probably.
Yeah. So
the best was the first one they came out was issue 12. Finishing up the first series, and then this is the first of the new. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pat, can I have the charger?
Well, that's it for me.
Okay. I read. Start with.
It's like 900 feet long.
It's 10 feet, but close to 900.
Like 11 billion.
Well, it needed to reach from there to here, so see?
Star Wars.
I'm sorry, dude.
IG-88.
Not IG-88?
Yeah.
This issue attempts to give some depth to IG-88. It's crazy that is. But I thought it was a pretty good story, actually, for the IG-88 story. But it starts with...
a depth emotion.
It does. He gets philosophical in this. Because at the beginning he's in pieces after facing Darth Vader, and Darth Vader cuts him up and leaves him for dead. And this cyborg, whose name is RB-919, is hired by Crimson Dawn to retrieve IG-88 and put him back together. And this guy, he like loves what he does. He's like an artist when it comes to rebuilding droids. And so he like gets him, because he's hired, because Crimson Dawn wants IG-88 to go after Boba Fett, who still has Han Solo's body in carbonite. So he does put IG-88 back together. And IG-88 thanks him, and he says, "I want to run some systems to make sure everything's working." And then you turn the page, and IG-88 just shoots him dead. So I guess everything's working. So he goes off to Tatooine to find Boba Fett, who's arriving at Tatooine to take the body to Jabba the Hutt, but. IG-88, his thing is, I'm like the perfect killing machine. He's still thinking back to that facing Darth Vader. I'm like the perfect killing machine, and I calculated everything, but he still beat me. So what's wrong with me? What's wrong with my calculations? I thought that was a pretty good story.
The thing about IG-88 is, like, the character design... is terrible. Like, he looks like, George Lucas was like, we need a bounty hunter robot, and like they just went to like the hardware store and got a bunch of pipes.
Yeah, pretty much. Time Before Time, number 6.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm behind on that one.
This was really good, I thought. This is like a standalone story of...
is this the end of the arc? Because I think it was number 6 that just came out, right?
Yeah, it's number 6. I think this is a standalone story. I don't know.
It's like a one-shot after the first arc?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I won't give the ending away. The ending is cool, if you want to.
Yeah, I'll catch up.
I won't give that away for you, but... the story is about, it kind of shows the reach of the syndicate, who's in 2140, and they could take people to whatever time, whatever year they they want for a price. So this issue is in 1994, and is that there's this family living in this, I think they're in Seattle in 1994. There's some, this family who was taken, it's a mom, dad, and a little baby, and they were taken in 1994 by this guy, Maloney, from the, with the syndicate. But now Maloney is, they're living at this like high rise that's owned by the syndicate, and like the refugee families are like housed in this building. But now the syndicate is after the guy who took them back to 1994 because he's a deserter, and they want to get their hands on him. He like, and he stole from the syndicate, and the guy, the guy, the dad, you know, sees him on the street, and he once asked for, Maloney asked for some help hiding out, and the guy, dad agrees to this, but the wife, you know, wants him to turn, wife wants the her husband to turn the guy in, because the syndicate will give them a deal on the rent if they turn him in. I won't give away the ending, but they finally do catch up with, the syndicate does catch up with Maloney, and it's a really cool ending of what they do to him using the time pod. It's really cool.
Cool.
With the art and the, with the art and everything. Lastly, I'm reading this book, The Citizen.
Okay.
From Action Lab. It's about, this is the second issue. It's about this, the city, Paladin City, where everybody is a superhero or supervillain, has superpowers, except for this one guy, Norman, who works at this newspaper. So everybody's like, it's a complete, I think the comedic term is farce. You can't take anything about it seriously. And I think it's done really well in some spots when the jokes hit. Because he has a, Norman has a, has a roommate named Stonehenge, Frankie, and then he goes, his superhero name is Stonehenge. He has like these stone hands, and he's he gets wind that this other hero, the Human Vine, is starting his own league, but he didn't get, Stonehenge didn't get an invitation to join, so he like kind of crashes their meeting.
Literally, oh sorry,
literally, and wants to know why he hasn't been invited, and they tell him, well, you're considered more of an anti-hero than a hero, and he's like, he's like taken aback by that. And then while that's going on, there's a fire at the newspaper building, and the league, you know, it's Norman, you got to help him, so they're off to the newspaper to help him and save everybody in the building. But they are completely, the members of this, the superheroes, they're completely ill-equipped, because one of them, one of the heroes is Pillow Fist, who has who has pillows for fists, and the sheets are flammable, and another guy is Kid Dynamite, who is completely useless with a fire. It's done well. It's done well for what it is, I thought. And that's all I got.
That's it? Okay. I got a bunch. Task Force Z.
I heard that.
Is written by Matthew Rosenberg, so that's the main reason I did. But basically, Task Force X is the Suicide Squad. This is Task Force Z, which are zombies. And it's a bunch of deceased villains have been reanimated to go on missions. And it's Bane and Gotham Knight. Those are the main two I remember.
Is Alfred in there?
Man-Bat.
Yep.
And
Red Hood is leading the charge because he knows what it's like to be dead and come back.
Who's Arkham Knight?
He was from a one.
He was in a video game.
But yeah, like, it was a video game, and then he was in a detective run that these guys did not like.
Isn't his like secret agent? Is he's like
no?
It's his a secret woman. Identity.
Yeah,
is.
Yeah, it's a woman. It's the daughter of the guy who ran Arkham, right?
Amadeus.
I didn't read
Amadeus.
It,
Arkham.
Yeah.
No. The warden.
Well, what? The, like the,
I can't remember.
I remember who you're talking about. That, yeah, when they did.
Because
I know she's
state or something like that. They did she was running Arkham, and she literally had knights.
Yeah. But I mean, even before that, because it was like, what's his name that had the good run on Superman during Rebirth and stuff like that?
Tomasi.
Yeah. It was like one of his first stories.
Hated the art.
Mike
hated the art. Yeah.
That was the goofy eyes that looked like they were.
Yeah.
Like, see, I always thought Mikey liked everything.
Yeah.
No.
But then there's also Plum, or from that weird whenever Gordon was Batman.
Mr. Bloom. Yeah. But he's not a zombie, but he's just playing along, having fun. So they have to go on this mission. Then they end up taking on Mr. Freeze, and Red Hood smashes his helmet, and that lets the freeze go everywhere. And so they all freeze, and like I think Bloom gets hit and shattered, or maybe it was Bane. But yeah, all of a sudden at the end, everybody was freezing. It was not going well. But it was okay. I don't know what I expected.
Oh, this is another, it's like 12 issue series.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I just got because, like you said, Rosenberg was writing it, and then the artist.
I don't remember.
I forget, but he's a really good artist, too, so it's a really good creative team on the book.
Next is Batman versus Bigby, a Fables crossover, and basically Big Bad Wolf is in Gotham looking for this book and trying to find this book. Last issue, they caught him. And then at the beginning, and then he broke out and like trashed the Batcave. So this one, Bruce is holding a literary function, and Big Bad Wolf comes because he's like, I can smell you. You think you're hiding from these people, but I know who you are. And so they have, and I'm going to find out, and I'm not going to help you. Oh, yeah, well, I'm not going to help you either. Okay. And then not a lot happened. Winchester Mystery House. I'm like, oh, cool. They're going to put a new spin on the old crazy Mrs. Winchester building this house and always building it. No, that's all it was. It was same old, same old. I was really hoping for something different, but it wasn't. Swamp Dogs House of Crows. This was a really weird one. God, I don't remember what happened in it. It wasn't. Like it starts off with like these.
Who put it out?
Scout. Another one with this fancy hard cardstock cover. It starts off with like these Confederate soldiers running away from somebody, and then all of a sudden, hey, they got in front of us because here are their tracks. And one guy's stomach was upset, and he had to go take a dump. And the other two kept going into the swamp, and they heard the other guy scream, and they're like, oh, they got him. And all of a sudden, they're in the swamp, and all these beings come up out of the swamp, and they start shooting. And then it goes on to these two girls are doing something, and they basically, one is like, she's a black girl from France, but you don't know that until she says she's from France. There was nothing in her dialogue to make it sound French. And this other girl who's all timid and stuff, and then all of a sudden they hook up. Not a lot happened. I remember going, this was not much of a book. The Batman Long Halloween special was really good. I was worried it was just a cash grab, just trying to come out with something for Halloween, and why don't we just do this? It was really good. It fit in like between the two books, between this and Dark Victory. Stuff is going on. Calendar Man is like recruiting people, and had a May and June, and they screwed up their job, and he's like, why don't we pick up, just use one person to do both jobs. So he's trying to recruit Two-Face into doing it. And then his wife has come back, who was the killer in Long Halloween, spoilers. And she comes back to him, and they're trying to live a normal life. Calendar Man kidnaps her to make Two-Face have to do what he wants. It was real good.
Well, the cool part was, you think it's Two-Face coming in to talk to Calendar Man like towards the end, and it's Batman.
Of course, it's Batman.
It's like so cool. My other favorite part was Robin and Batgirl, Babs, going trick-or-treating.
Yeah, trick-or-treating, yeah. That was really cool. Because Commissioner Gordon, his daughter, wanted to trick-or-treat with Robin. And yeah. So, yeah, and she went dressed as Batgirl.
Batgirl,
yeah,
which it was really cool.
That was good. That was fun. But yeah, it felt like the old, the original series. Oh, it didn't feel, shoehorned in or anything. I did think it was good.
And they left it open at the end.
Yeah, so they could do more.
Yeah, because what is the secret that Gilda has?
Right.
We don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Let's see. Trial of Magneto I read, but we already talked about. I talked to Dave about that already. I'm going to leave one for the end because it was, crap. Human Remains was good. This is where if you're having show emotion, this thing appears and rips you apart. And so everybody has to, be quiet and calm and all this stuff. And for some reason, in one area, it's not affected. I forget, like Portland or something. But it starts at this wedding of this couple. And as they're at the wedding, this comes and they're just kind of standing in shock. And other people are yelling and screaming. And when you do that, this thing gets them. So now this is after, and they're having a lot of trouble because he doesn't want to show any emotion. Like when they're having sex, she gets loud. And he's like, no, we have to stop. We can't do that. And finally he moves out just basically to save her because he's like, he cares too much about her that he doesn't want to do anything to harm her. And so that, and there's other characters, other stuff going on. But that was the bulk of it. Gun Honey number 2. It's where the girl is, her job is getting guns into places. And in this one, she's hired by a guy to get a gun into prison because they don't know who the prison doesn't realize who they have. And this guy has a grudge against him and he wants him killed. So she gets a gun into the prison. The guy goes to shoot the guy. The guy, of course, stops being shot, takes the gun, shoots the guy, kills the guards and gets out. She sees this on the news. There's an FBI agent talking with her. They see it on the news. She can't get a hold of the guy that hired her. They go to the house and everybody's been killed, including the guy that hired her, with a note to her written on the board because he knows that she's the one that got the gun in. So Gun Honey's on the run. Maw number 2. This is a weird one where it's this female commune kind of thing where women go to discuss, how they've been abused and all this stuff, and no guys are allowed, although there's a guy that shuttles them there. And two sisters go, and the one had been raped previously, and the judge and everybody basically said it was her fault and let the guys off. And so she comes to this, and she's like, I can't deal with this. She gets out. The guy takes her to a bar. At the bar, somebody slips something in her drink and rapes her again. So now she's back, and some weird stuff's going on. The lady that runs it was married to a famous writer that everybody knows, and she's like, no, nobody knows him. He broke my jaw and all this, and she ran off when she was pregnant and then founded this thing. And it turns out that it's the guy who runs the shuttle type thing is actually her son. Because she confronts her because he's getting weed to everybody. But apparently, and the whole thing is that this main character is going to turn into a monster, which she does at the end. She wanders off and she's swimming and some guys come and like, oh, we got her pants. And, they're going to do something to her and all of a sudden she erupts. And you can't really tell what happened in the book. The visual wasn't great. But, Death of Doctor Strange 2. He dies in the first issue, and at the very end, through a portal, walks a much younger Doctor Strange, drawn much more in the Ditko style, which is interesting that he would look based on how the artist drew him then. But so all heck is breaking loose in the world. Ancient creatures are now taking over different areas because Doctor Strange isn't there anymore to protect. And so he comes through, and everybody is coming to talk to him, like Captain America, and he's like, oh, Captain, but he's young, so he, doesn't know these people. Clea shows up, and he doesn't know who she is, and things. And then it turns out that these people aren't invading Earth, they're running away from something. And it turns out, I think it's these three sisters, called the Sisters, were chasing Clea, and now realize they can feed on the magic of Earth. And Doctor Strange's problem is, what happened was, he took a week of his life and compartmentalized it, so that should something ever happen to him, he'd have a week to figure out who killed him. So he's like, I don't have time to protect the Earth, let the Sorcerer Supreme do that. I need to figure out who murdered me. And they're like, we don't have a Sorcerer Supreme. You are the Sorcerer Supreme. So that's what's... But it was good. And then the last one. This was one I really had high hopes for, only because it seemed too stupid of a book to come out.
It's Aquaman Green Lantern Deep Target, which I accidentally typed into my phone as Derp Target. And then I kind of left it there because after reading it, it was. It starts off, something is going on. There's a military thing going on in the woods, and they set up this equipment, and a little dinosaur pops up through this, gets transported or something, and the guy walks up. Yeah, one came through, cool. Shoots it. Let's take it back and study it. And he says, general whatever name. So, continues on, and it's all of a sudden you see Green Arrow getting geared up to go deep sea diving, which Green Arrow does, right? Nothing on his arm so he can be free to shoot arrows underwater. And you're just reading this, just going, this is really dumb.
Could he shoot harpoons, maybe?
Yeah.
So he goes in and he goes down and he knocks out two guys with an electrical arrow that shocks them.
But wait, what?
Underwater.
Underwater. Yeah.
It doesn't shock him.
And so then he gets in and there's a guy sitting on the throne. He's like, I've been draining the throne room for a week expecting you. Where you been? And comes out and he fires arrows at the guy. And then it turns out that actually it's not Green Arrow, it's Aquaman as Green Arrow, and it's Green Arrow as Aquaman sitting on the throne, because somehow they swapped powers. Yet they look exactly the same, because they both now have a goatee.
But doesn't Aquaman have, those tattoos, though?
Aquaman, he does. Oh. And now you see it when he comes, yeah.
Who wrote this masterpiece?
Oh, I don't know.
So it's Freaky Friday.
Yeah. And then it goes back to, then the general transported, and he's sitting on this thing as he's teleporting back, and a little dinosaur walks up to him, and they teleport back. Oh, but it's like The Fly, because the dinosaur was in the teleporter with him. Now he's turned into a half-dinosaur guy, and he looks basically like Killer Croc, and that's the general now. It's like Killer Croc. And it was just, I got to the end, and I'm like... So the reason for this book exists... is it's Aquaman's 80th anniversary and it's Green Arrow's 80th anniversary. So they had to do a team-up book with these two characters. And I'm like, okay, so some guy had a really cool idea and came out with this book. And then I read it and I went, oh my God.
How many issues are they supposed to do?
I think five or six. Okay. It's just...
Are you going to read two?
No.
Come on.
No.
No, come on, no. Please.
Yeah, let's know.
Please read two.
It was bad.
No, read two. Come on.
It was just... dumb.
But what if it gets better in part two?
You have to read two. Come on, you can't leave us hanging.
Okay.
You can call it Derp but, or something.
Oh, it was... God, it was...
Part Derp.
Part Derp. Part you. Derp. So, that's all I read. But I read a lot. How did I read one? 17.
Wow.
I think that was pretty good.
It's more than you've read in like...
I know.
Weeks,
I committed to it. I said, I'm reading. I think I already have three or four for this week.
Nice.
Focused. Pat?
Well, what's coming out next week, Colin?
Okay. It's a weird week. One thing I want to talk about. It's fun because I'm looking at the invoice for Lunar. And one of the things we're having to talk with the different distributors about is data uniformity. We need them to do things the same way. And there's a little problem with, Penguin Random House's invoices are fun, because instead of saying Superman, they'll abbreviate to SM. Because everybody abbreviates Superman to SM. So, or And and also in their descriptions, they're putting colons, and it's just making things really weird. And it's like, we want it, you know, title, you know, Spider-Man trade paperback, volume 12 title, you know, just so it reads the same. And it's funny, just as I'm looking at the very first line, and do you see a problem with those for two books?
Hunter Bullets trade paperback book 3, Hunter Bullets trade paperback book 4.
Right. It's just they put book twice, but the problem is by putting book twice, that's going to move it on the alphabetical list.
Okay.
And it's going to make things screwed up. It's like, just come on. We can't hold your hands. But next week from DC, we have Batman the Imposter 2. I really like number 1. Batman Urban Legends 9 is a Fear State tie-in. I have a ton of reorders. It's like this huge invoice and nothing new. I Am Batman 3 is also a Fear State tie-in. And Robin and Batman is by Jeff Lemire and
David Nguyen.
Dustin Nguyen. From Marvel, we're getting Amazing Spider-Man 78.
Close your eyes. And only in that moment is the moment gone.
Thank you, Pat.
You're welcome.
We have Amazing Spider-Man 78, Excalibur 25, Hellion 17, The Thing number 1, and Venom number 1 that was supposed to come out in October. So
certainly not for the movie. No.
It was, but you know, you can't plan these things, Patrick.
Venom's dead.
No, he's back. Written by Al Ewing and drawn by
I thought it was from redrawn.
He's like, when they left him, he was like in the spirit world, right?
I didn't finish it. I don't know.
I'm waiting for the trade to come.
Rom V is writing the kid part, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's complicated. So, Dave, Archie and Friends Christmas Calamity is next week. I knew you'd be excited.
The skipping Thanksgiving.
Wait, hold on. So, we can't get Halloween books out on time, but you're getting Christmas books.
Second week of November.
Yeah.
We have Maze Book number 3. My Date with Monsters, which I'm pretty sure is an Aftershock book. We have Nyx, which is from Dynamite, where it's like a human, and then dad is chaos, and she has to figure things out. Out number 2 from AWA.
Nice.
Phenom X, which I have to give props. This is written by John Leguizamo.
Oh.
So that's their big thing. But I saw he was on Colbert pushing the book. I'm like, okay.
Wow.
I like that.
All right.
I'll give you points for that. Regarding the matter of Oswald's body, they're saying this is kind of in the spirit of Department of Truth, where Oswald is not buried in Oswald's tomb, and what happened. And Righteous Thirst for Vengeance, just for you.
Oh.
And Telepaths number 3. And then the big one. Now I do have something I'm gonna have to post about this. What's the furthest place from here? Number 1 is coming. Now they sent me a little package with some stuff. So whoever pre-orders it, and that even includes up until it comes out, because I have lots coming. I have a signed copy that I'm gonna throw in, and someone's gonna get it. It's just gonna go in the pile for polls and whichever
whoever
one
gets it.
Yeah. And I do also have a signed poster, so we'll figure out who gets those. Cool. Pat, one neat thing, when my buddy Vince started working at Dynamite, he realized that they had all these covers for the books, but they didn't denote them. So he said, no, we need to start putting a letter for each one. So it's cover A, B, C, D,
yeah,
E.
Okay.
So because like they do that for A, B, C, D, E, but then it's, you know, 7 copy, 11 copy, 20 copy. He's like, no, they all have to have a letter so that, and putting it by the barcode so I can instantly see
which issue
is this instead of having to figure it out. Vampirella 25 is coming out next week.
50 covers?
So how many covers do you think Vampirella 25 has?
50.
Well, they can't do more than 26 with that system,
oh!
right?
Yes, you can.
Yes, you
go
can.
To double A, double B, double
yep.
C.
So
and
I don't know the exact...
So I think it's getting to double D.
Yes! Well, they didn't do it quite the way you're thinking.
Damn!
But they went through Z, and then ZA, ZB, and they made it all the way up to ZL. So I don't know exactly how many that is.
Oh, my God.
That's a lot of covers.
That is a lot of covers. Yeah. How many of them are you getting?
A lot of them.
Wow. Do you have... have a lot of Vampirella customers?
No. I do okay. Like the A cover I do fine with. The thing is, they tend to sell well for me on eBay.
Understood.
Like the ratio ones. Like there's only, there are 6-7 main covers, and then after that, it's all the variants.
So how many pulls do you have actually for Vampirella?
Probably 4.
Holy crap, really?
Yeah.
Well, would you expect it more or less?
I was, for the amount that he gets in, I was thinking maybe like 10-ish.
So that's what we got.
But it still outsells Aquaman.
No, I did. I think I ordered 10 and I sold 8. And we'll see how many twos I sell.
The ones that you sell on eBay, it outsells.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true. So that's what we got. Where are we at? Just for fun. Oh my god, hour and a half. See, we get everybody here. Blah blah blah. See, it's all Pat's fault. Pat wasn't here 1 week. We were at 38 minutes. Just the three of us.
Yeah, blame me.
Yeah. So, that's all we got. We're doing Dark Horse Month, only because Tim's like, we haven't done Dark Horse in a while. I'm like, bing, ding, ding, we got a winner. So, and then, of course, this month is going to get a little crazy at the end with, we have local comic shop days the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. We have Black Friday coming and Small Business Saturday. So, all sorts of fun going on this month. But as always, the website's pittsburghcomics.com. Facebook is Pittsburgh Comics. Twitter and Instagram are PGH Comics. Let's see, Brandon, you haven't been here in a while.
That's a podcast.
We'll talk at you next week. See you.